Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And we are halfway to the weekend, but we're also in the fourth 4 o'clock hour, which means it's time on Wednesday to do this thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my friends who talk radio. And we always have opinions. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other when it's done. So let me just call the roll for the Grand Council. Looking north to Huntsville, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN's Cumulus Broadcasting Station up yonder, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also does a whole lot of stuff with Yellowhammer News, and even has a TV gig. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right, so turning my eyes southward. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News and does some stuff with Land Yap and even Breitbart. Hey, Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, fellers, you know the deal. Round one, we just ask each other questions, see where it goes. Dale Jackson, you first.
Donald Trump has a new budget that they've gotten through the House. There's some talk about it. It's just a framework, guys.
Framework.
So it can be whatever you want it to be. Cuts to your favorite program are coming, tell us the Democrats. And it's still going to balloon the deficit and debt and all this other stuff. Trump himself says social programs will not be cut. They're going to focus on fraud. Can he get it done with just finding fraud, waste, and abuse, or are there going to have to be cuts eventually?
You're talking about in the social programs?
Yes.
I don't think there's going to be true cuts in Medicaid and Medicare and in Social Security. I think what we're going to wind up seeing, though, is there's going to be a culling of the herd when it comes to the staffing. I think you're going to wind up seeing a reduction in the forced expansions that we were seeing from the Biden administration on the states. And I think you're going to also see there's a whole lot of fraud, like people getting checks that shouldn't, or for that matter, dead people still getting checks that their families are cashing for them. So I think you're going to see that be the focus, not this year. I don't think you're going to see this year be right out at the gate that they're going to want to actually cut entitlement programs. Jeff, your thoughts?
I mean, it wouldn't be this year, but I would be surprised in the next year, an election year, to get any kind of talks about cuts. I think there'll be a reduction in staffing, and that's pretty easy. But when we start talking about where the real money is, which is some of these entitlements, is that going to fly? No, but they had to be real careful on the entitlement side, I think.
I agree, but, I mean, what do you think, Dale? Are they going to push Granny off the cliff?
They should. They should push all the grannies off the cliff. He said this. He was asked by a reporter, can you guarantee Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security will not be touched? Trump, I've said it so many times, you shouldn't be asking that question. We're going to look for fraud. People are 200 years old and being sent checks. Some of them are actually being sent checks. So question asked, question answered. So question asked again tomorrow. Is that how that works?
It's apparently the answer is the same every day. But if you ask it over and over again, they expect a different answer.
I guess so.
Jeff Rowe, what question you got for us, man?
Speaking of grandmas, Governor Ivey, we learned last night that so the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, our mutual friend Tiffany Knoll runs that group, they were disinvited by the governor. It's legislative days down here in Montgomery. So women from all over the fruited plain of Alabama are here to learn more about the civic process. And part of that is a little reception tea at the governor's mansion. They do it every year. It's very exciting for them. Well, because this group, they have business meeting as well, was considering a resolution that was against the governor's veterans revamp, he disinvited them.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to pull it from their agenda. On a scale of 1 to 10 on the petty scale, where would you put this?
I'd put that about a 12.3. And by the way, Jeff, you've been in Montgomery. Did you confirm that really did happen?
really did happen. And wow. I'll tell y'all something else. Listen to this. The lieutenant governor has stepped up and is hosting an event at the Montgomery Country Club, I believe, for these women in place of that.
Well played, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. Well played. Look, that's absolutely one of the most petty things I've ever heard. By the way, the American Federation of Republic Women have supported her constantly. And when they show up every, I'll just tell you, my time down there, when they show up wearing their red jackets and red dresses, and it's legislative days for the AFRW, that's a big deal. It's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for the legislature. And yes, every year they go to the governor's mansion and they have a reception. And that's just been in the works forever. And for her to cancel it because they didn't like a piece of legislation that no one could figure out why she's got such a, you know, a crazy desire to see passed, is the pettiest thing I think I've ever heard of, whether it be Democrat or Republican. Dale?
I've been to the governor's mansion. I've had the little tea with Kay Ivey. It's not really all that exciting. They didn't miss out on anything. But yeah, she's petty. I mean, that's clear. I mean, we all know that. Why is she doing this? I have absolutely no idea. The question is, does she know she's doing it?
That bothers me. And I cannot help but wonder if there were staff members who made this happen. But that means they don't want to expose her to the possibility of a discussion while she's there for a social tea. And, you know, it just listen, this is someone needs to explain what her, you know, her desire is for this bill. It does not rationalize. Any further thoughts on it, Jeff?
Well, I was just going to say, like, she's picking fights with veterans. She's picking fights with Republican women. Are there some orphans around? They better watch out because she's going to pick a fight with them next. This is totally tone deaf. He acts with impunity these days.
Okay. Let me jump in with a question and see if I can get this thing going here. Magic City Acceptance Academy. People around the nation get you know, just completely gobsmacked when they find out that there's actually a charter school using public funds in the state of Alabama, of all places, that is absolutely designed to be a school for gay kids. And that's what it really is. Now, they say they're not, but they always push lifestyle choices over education at the Magic City Acceptance Academy. And now we find out, 1819 News, good job on you, that the former principal there had even offered to pay for gender assignment surgeries for kids himself. So that being said, how much longer can the Magic City Acceptance Academy keep its charter as a public charter school, knowing all that we know right now? Dale?
As long as lawmakers allow it to. That's it. And it seems like there's no real pressure on them to stop it. There was some talk about it early on, but you haven't heard anything about it. We got the Glock switch thing taken care of again, so maybe we can move on to that. But there hasn't been much talk about it, has there?
There hasn't been. That's what bugs me. Is are they going to take any action? Jeff, what are your thoughts on this? Magic City.
No, we try to get lawmakers to take the bait. A lot of them just don't want to talk on the record about it. It's very bizarre. And, I mean, you know, the only way this is ever – people are going to decide to demand accountability here, but – it seems to be in violation of the divisive concepts law that's on the books, and which just further illustrates what a toothless legislative effort that was. But they just operate, and I don't know. That's what it's going to take. But we haven't seen a lot of courage on this one.
We haven't, and I'll throw more of a piece in that. Going back to our conversation about Governor Ivey. She is the, by default, she is the head of the state Board of Education. She has a say in this because the state Board of Education has its committee that approves charters. And this one was approved during Ivy's tenure, and she didn't say boo about it. And now here we are finding out that they've got drag shows for kids. They're all about lifestyle choice for, you know, the LGBTQ agenda. And now you got a staff member, I assume paid with public dollars, who's offering to pay for kids, you know, mastectomies and things like that. It's just, it's madness, and it's got to stop. Somebody make it make sense.
You can't make this make sense, but it is reality, and it's just getting exposed. And they had book signings, like you said, and they had all this other stuff. It's absolutely amazing that it's even going on here in the state of Alabama, because other states don't do this. Why are we?
No, in fact, I think this may be the only one like it in the nation. Am I right in saying that? Does anybody know? I don't know there's anybody else out there that has a school that even in its name sounds like a DEI glorification. Y'all know? I mean, is anybody else?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. I think we're it.
Well, I mean, I don't know, guys. They probably don't need this in other places, but maybe in like the inner city of Birmingham, somebody decided there was a need for it, but that's just sort of, I don't know. I have never heard of anything like this.
No, ever. And here we are, Red State Alabama, Republican supermajority, and nobody wants to talk about it. All right, we're taking a break. That's round one, the Grand Council, with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're going back to round number two on the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson. Round two, first question. Dale Jackson, what you got?
All right, former Senator Williams and a lawyer, I believe.
Oh, Lord.
The state of Tennessee recently won a legal battle where the Supreme Court said, we're not taking up this drag queen ban.
Yeah.
The lower court said it's good to go. Different states have passed different things. Are we done with obese men in women's swimsuits covered in sequins gyrating in front of children in libraries? Are we officially allowed to ban that now? Is that a cross the country thing, or is that just Tennessee that got lucky?
That was Tennessee's Scarametti case, and it related to Tennessee law. So it was a case of being appealed up to the circuit from a Tennessee decision, and since the Supremes decided not to take it up, that means Tennessee law stands. I think we're going to see the same thing though materializing all over. I would not be a bit surprised to find that eventually the decision has to get rendered from the Supreme Court of the United States saying something to the effect of, if state law says it, we find no grievance there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so you're going to wind up seeing drag shows in Illinois and New York and in California, but you won't see them in Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi. But right now, my recollection is that case was about the Scarametti case relating to Tennessee. Jeff, if you know different.
I guess the premise of my question is that lays the groundwork for every state that wants to do it to get the green light to do so.
Oh, they see. Okay, yeah, there's two versions of precedent. One is precedent where they actually rule. The other is precedent when they decline to rule, which means, hey, we've got a court that's favorable to this being left in place. So sometimes saying nothing is saying a lot. And in this case, we know at least under the current court, that these cases will very likely stand, at least on the merits of what was being appealed. So there's that. Jeff, weigh in on that if you want to.
Let me weigh in with a question. Does it go all the way to the Supreme Court, and is there a chance the Supreme Court lets us down here? I don't know. But they've done that before in the past.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be how it's couched. I mean, right now, this is a matter of legislated. I mean, if this had been an executive order from the governor, it might not have stood up. If this had been something that picked on one population base over another. But see, right now, there's no protection in the law for the gay agenda like there is for somebody of a gender or like a racial demographic. And so I think that the court declined because this meets all the standards it needed to. If you had one that didn't, like if they said only as to black people, then it wouldn't stand up. Right now, I think this court is going to at least stay on the money. That's my thought. All right, next question. Jeff, what you got?
Media death watch here. We've seen Lester Holt. We've seen the much publicized Joy Reid. We could go Jim Acosta. I mean, there's a bunch of names that were kind of quasi-known names in that landscape. Who you got next?
Go ahead. I'm looking for Whoopi to be forced into retirement. That would make my day. But right now I think she's still got a contract. But no, I think that right now The View is outliving its usefulness. People are realizing how off the rocker those people really are, and they need to counterbalance that a little bit. I think you'll see somebody on there get replaced with somebody who's at least more moderate. Whoopi will probably still anchor the table, at least for now. Gone are the days when Barbara Walters seemed to have a little more command of the issues, but on The View. Dale, your thoughts?
Well, I would think The View's going to be fine. It's a network program. I'm sure it's not that expensive to do with just a rotating cast of general malcontents and nobodies. I don't know how much that could actually cost. Yeah, your problem still remains on, I think, MSNBC and CNN, where you have a bunch of names, huge staffs, and not that big of audiences. That's your real problem. Who goes next? I don't know. I think we were still waiting for like a big shoe to drop at CNN that still has never come. Was Jim Acosta a guy who does something like 11 p.m. the guy, or no, or was he's in the middle of the day? Was he the biggest guy who could go there, or is there someone else? It's got to be there, right?
Well, they brought Brian Stelter back, so I'm still trying to figure that out. But
they got rid of Oliver Darcy. That's they brought him back to fill that job.
Okay.
But they got rid of Oliver Darcy.
Your best friend.
What big names left? Yeah, how'd you know? What's left to CNN? Like, they're not going to get rid of Anderson Cooper. It's just he's like the franchise tag on him. The same probably applies to like a Rachel Maddow. I would look at like, I think like the name I think, no basis of any research or evidence, like Nora O'Donnell or somebody like that, who got signed to a big deal, was going to be a big deal, and just kind of was like not great. And they still had to eat that contract. Well, watch for names like that. I don't think you're going to see a marquee name. But, like, you know, Chuck Todd left NBC the other day. Did anybody even notice?
No.
You know? Like, you see these names that are, like, more household names in this world are going by the wayside. And, you know, you're going to see more of this over time.
What about Caitlin Collins?
Nah.
She works cheap. You're not going to get rid of her. You got to look at names that are, like, people who have been with the network at the time when cable news was really pumping and knocking, or even broadcast news, that's what's going to happen. You're going to see, I think, you're going to see that era of personality go.
I think you're going to start seeing, though, what I think they might do is moderate the guests more and make the liberal commentators have to deal with a conservative viewpoint, which they don't often do. In that vein, let me ask you this real quick as we're about to go with 30 seconds. Is Dan Bongino going to move to Huntsville, Alabama and run the FBI headquarters south? What do you think there, Dale?
I hope so. I can't wait to hang out with him.
What do you think, Jeff?
Hey, I got like Dale and Dan Bongino buddy comedy. I just can't wait for that.
Deputy director will be across the hall in Washington, D.C. He'll be in D.C.
I heard you're going to be his director of communications is what
hey,
I heard.
Hey, if he asks, I'll serve.
Oh, man, spots are opening up everywhere. All right, you guys, appreciate you. That's the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, with 1819 News, Dale Jackson up yonder in Huntsville on WVNN, host of The Dale Jackson Show, and with Yellowhammer News, and little old me, the Grand Council. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.